In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus withdraws to a mountain by himself because the crowds don't want him. They follow him because he multiplied their bread. They ate their fill. They saw the miraculous signs. Maybe they think he's God, or perhaps he might be God, maybe not. But either way, they are enamored with the miracles that he has done. It pulls their mind back to the Old Testament and to the great and powerful acts God had done for his people Israel. They knew how he delivered Israel, their ancestors, with great power and might. He multiplied bread for 40 years, manna from heaven. He chose them out of all the nations of the earth. He chose them to be his own prized possession. So when they see Jesus multiplying bread, they want those Old Testament miracles yet again. They want to be the physical nation of Israel that all the nations of the earth look to and find their hope and salvation in. Heal them when they are sick. Bless them when they are poor. Feed them when they are hungry. And now the next step is to reestablish that monarchy with Jesus himself as the first king. Get rid of the Romans. They want the physical nation, God ruling through his appointed king, the nation alight to the Gentiles, the temple sacrifices beckoning all to come and worship at Jerusalem. All of this is to say that they want the shadows, not the reality. Ancient Israel was a physical shadow of the eternal things that are to come. The reality is found in Christ. The temple, the rituals, the law, the priesthood, even the physical nation, all pointed to a greater, better reality that God would bring. All of it pointed to Christ. So when Christ comes and ushers in this new reality, they walk away. Christ multiplies their loaves, and when he tells them that he is the bread of life, from which a man may eat and so live forever, they're disappointed. They want the physical bread. They want a physical promised land. They want to be a physical nation. They want the shadows. We often get caught up in these shadows as well. Well, not the Old Testament shadows. But we still have things that point us to eternal realities. Perhaps a better word for them are icons or images, things that express eternal realities. So food is a shadow. The reality is the bread of life in the Holy Supper, from which a man may eat and so live forever. That bread is Christ's flesh, which he gives for the life of the world. Clothing is a shadow. The reality is the holy garments of Christ given to us in holy baptism. The righteousness of Christ hides our sinful shame. The holiness of Christ makes us pleasing and beautiful before God. Family is a shadow. The reality is Christ is our brother, God is our father, and the brothers and sisters are the saints of God, with whom we will spend eternity. Marriage is a shadow. The reality is Christ, our eternal bridegroom, who always loves, never fails, always protects, always does what is best for his bride. He sacrifices himself, still sacrifices himself now so we may have his eternal blessings. Or rather, he gives us that sacrifice even today. Governments are shadows as well. The reality is Christ is our perfect king. He fights for us. He guards us. He protects us from all evil. And he also rules over us with his grace, his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Money is a shadow. The reality is the eternal riches stored up for us in heaven. A house is a shadow. The reality is those eternal dwellings, which God has prepared for those who believe, where moth and rust and water and fire cannot destroy. Even doctors and medicine are shadows. The reality is our great physician of body and soul and the feast of immortality, the Holy Supper, from which a man may eat and so live forever. Now, don't get me wrong, I should be clear. We must pay attention to these earthly things. In fact, it would be sinful to despise and ignore these gifts of God. We should not feel guilty about having them or even praying to God for them, because he has told us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And daily bread includes everything that has to do with the needs and support of the body, such as food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, land and animals, money and goods, a devout husband, a devout wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. God wants us to pray for such things because he wants to bless us with these physical things, even as he multiplied the loaves for the 5,000 to physically take care of them. Open your fridge, and you see the manifold blessings of God each day. But we cannot stop there. Suppose God gives us all that we need for this life. Suppose we never hunger or want or need any financial help or assistance. Suppose we have all that we need. How does that help us get to heaven? The 5,000 stopped there. They didn't want the realities. We cannot stop there. But at times we do. We want God only to take away the hardship, the pain, the struggles, to fix the finances, the hurt, or at the very least, to calm our frustrations, our anxieties, and our fears. Like the 5,000, we get so focused on these shadows that we forget the reality. We forget his cross, by which he has already overcome all things for us. We forget those waters of holy baptism where we already have been delivered from every evil. And yes, that includes the physical ailments we go through. We forget the Holy Supper, which gives us those eternal riches of heaven. We get so caught up and so focused on what is going on in our life, why it is happening, and how we must fix it, that we forget Christ has already fixed it by his death and resurrection. We cannot get so wrapped up in these things that we forget what they point us to. They cannot be our everything. They need our constant attention, yes, but they are not our eternal reality any more than a physical nation of Israel with a physical temple and a physical promised land was to be the eternal reality. They point to greater things. And so that is why we gather here week after week. So our hearts and minds might be refocused on this reality. God opens our eyes to see where our true food is, where our true life is, and what our true home is. The cross is the lens through which we see all things. The cross is the lens by which we look at our own lives. It reveals the transitory nature of this world. It reveals our eternal inheritance in heaven. So all those who believe are children of Abraham, sons of the free woman. This is the true Israel, whose God has delivered her with a mighty outstretched arm. And that great Passover lamb has been sacrificed for you to set you free. You have passed through the waters of holy baptism, where all sin and all filth and all your enemies have been drowned. You live in this wilderness, while you feast on the bread of life which came down from heaven, even as you journey toward the promised land of heaven. God himself is your ruler. God himself is the one who leads and guides you. We have this reality right now, by faith, not by sight. So as long as we live on this earth, we still have shadows or icons, images. We enjoy them as gifts of God, but we can never forget the reality that is Christ. For man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is what saves. Physical food only sustains our bodies for a few hours, but this bread from heaven sustains us for all eternity. And there in heaven, all shadows will be gone, and we will live in the reality of Christ forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.